I'm Confucius, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 989 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Fresh and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop, Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways, no matter where you're from or where you stay.
And you are tuned into The Breaks. I'm Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
And boy, what a week it has been. Full disclosure, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. We're recording this. We don't know what's going on, people. Like, it's the end of days, if you ask me. It's the end of days. I don't know what's going on.
You know, for full transparency, guys, as of the recording of the show, there's no winner in the presidential election yet. Hopefully by the time you hear it, there will be one, or at least we'll have a better answer to what's going on. It's still kind of up in the air who's going to be the next president for the next 4 years, who's going to be in the White House. So, you know, maybe during this show, we'll change our tune, but as it's looking, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Crazy times, man. Crazy times.
Crazy times. I was talking to my aunt today because I had to run around and do some stuff for work. And I was asking her, I was like, has this ever happened? Like something, like an instance like this where days after an election, we still don't have a clear cut winner of the race. And we, like, no president has been named. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, you got to remember, you know, this is what happened in 2016. She brought up, like, but that was more of a conceding issue with Hillary. I was like, that was her just not being ready to say that she lost. That's not the same thing. Like, we knew Trump had won in 2016. And then she was like, well, you remember in 2000, the Bush-Gore, it went to the Supreme Court. I remember that, but I was like, we still had a declared winner of the election. Like, they had called it for Bush. It just happened to go to the Supreme Court. We don't have a clear-cut winner. So it was like...
Well, yeah, the Bush thing lasted for months because of back and forth, the litigation with Bush and Gore. I don't think it's going to last as long, only because, it's not down to one state. You have a better chance of argument when it's down to one state and it's still ballots uncounted. But this is not going to come down to ballots not being counted, obviously. This is just going to come down to, you know, how many of these cases or lawsuits that Trump is shooting across the country he'll win. And in my honest opinion, and I'm not nobody's legal expert, I don't think he's going to win any of these lawsuits, because he would have a better chance or a greater argument if his lawsuits were consistent across the country. Some lawsuits are saying stop voting. Some are saying, stop counting the votes. Some are saying that votes shouldn't be should be tossed out. So it's, none of these lawsuits are coincide with each other. Bush had one argument, like stop the voting. Like there should be no more ballots counted. I'm winning. Stop counting them. Trump is like in some place like, oh, yeah, keep counting them over there. Oh, no, never mind. Don't count them over there. Oh, wait a minute. We need somebody to watch ballots over here. So just, you know, any judge would look at that and say, like, bro, your argument's all over the place. Like, I can't.
Do you want us to stop counting? Or do you want us to continue?
Yeah, like, what are we doing here? And also, like I said, Trump isn't in the lead. Bush in 2000 was in the lead. That's why Bush was trying to shut it down. Bush was like, yo, y'all keep counting, I'm going to lose this lead. Like, they did, you know, because originally at the end of election night in 2000, Bush was the winner. Al Gore conceded. But then at a few hours later, they were still counting, and all of a sudden, Gore's ahead. So that's when Bush like, yeah, okay, no, we got to. Like, it's too much back and forth going on. But there is no back and forth right now with Biden and Trump. I mean, you can say, like, oh, they're still, you know, Trump was winning at one point, but he's not winning anymore. But that's not because they're finding ballots. They just weren't done counting. So they were finding ballots in Florida. Like, oh, there's 10,000 over here. Oh, another 20,000 over here. They're not finding ballots, as, you know, as Trump is yelling out to the world. So they're just still counting them. Which it's normal after an election. It's just that most times during an election, it's already decided when the states are still counting their votes.
Right, and I guess that's what I'm asking. Like, has this like ever happened to where they're still counting and there's still no one has conceded and there's still no clear cut winner of the presidential race?
Nobody's gonna concede this one.
I don't see it. I don't see anybody conceding.
Trump or Biden not gonna concede. Biden will be the first one if he has to. But he's gonna go through litigation as well for recounts if he ends up losing. Because right now he's on pace to win. Trump is never going to concede, I don't think.
I don't see that happening.
Even if he loses all his lawsuits, obviously loses the Electoral College, he's not going to concede. He's going to do his usual conspiracy theories, say he got cheated, and then maybe pop up at the inauguration or maybe not. That's just it. So, but like I said, I would like to tell y'all we have an answer to what's going on. We don't know. Are we surprised? No. This is somebody, President Trump is somebody who has made it very clear from the beginning that he was never going to go quietly into the sunset.
Yeah,
so I'm not, and I'm also, and I also, knowing the electorate in this country, knew that it would be either close, whoever would win, it'd be close. Like, there was never any doubt in my mind it'd be a landslide. I know that Biden and them like to tally. We need a landslide. So, yeah, and I want $1 million tomorrow, too, but I mean, we both can't get what we want when we ask for it. Because you don't get somebody like a Trump and the movement behind him and blow him out.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. How many videos did we see these last couple weeks of people with Trump flags on the back of their trucks, doing the most?
Yeah, all across the country. And then I was talking to other people on the hot new app Clubhouse.
You're on Clubhouse?
I am on Clubhouse.
You got to tell me about that because I've always...
Well, we could talk about it later on in the show. We could talk about Clubhouse. But, it was people on there saying, like, they were coming from Deuce was on there.
Of course he is. Shout out to Deuce.
Deuce and Hobbs.
Of course they are.
And both of them said they were coming from Houston. And Hobbs was like, I didn't see any. When I was coming back, I didn't see any. I didn't see any, like, Trump supporters. I didn't see anybody with Trump flags on their car. Deuce was like, no, I did. I saw. He was like, man, they had the whole. He said they had all the 71, like, on I-10. He was, like, clogged up and backed up. He was like, I saw one there. And I was like, yeah, that's because you went I-10 to 71. Yeah, you went through small-town Texas. That's why.
I was I saw a caravan of Trump supporters with the flags in the trucks. I want to say, like, 2 weeks ago, I was going to Discount Tire, and they were at a light. It was about five or six of them. Like I said, that – once again, we're in Texas, too, so it's definitely not surprising to see it anywhere in Texas. But, yeah, you don't have something like that. And then just blow up the incumbent president out. Although I think I talked to you about this. This is the first time I've seen an incumbent president be on the defensive so hard. Like, normally incumbent president comes in like, I look at the economy and look how the war went and look how your pockets are looking. Trump the whole time like, man, look, COVID ain't my fault. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I did what I could.
This is the, I think we had been talking about that all week in our group chat with our friend O. And this is the first that I can recall from a presidency where the incumbent president is on the defensive as much as Trump is. Like, Bush against Kerry wasn't like this. Clinton against...
They said Kerry wasn't no Vietnam hero. I said, damn, y'all destroyed the man's legacy?
they stripped him of his war hero status.
Man, I didn't have like a Purple Heart. I'm like, damn. He's just, that makes it seem like they just give those out. Like, bruh.
Obama wasn't on the defensive during his reelection. Clinton wasn't on it. I can't recall anyone, like, even looking through history, I don't recall any president like being on the offensive. So, like, this is a very historic election that we are witnessing in the year of the Lord 2020. 2020 has beat 1968, man. 1968 was a crazy year. I think 2020 has trumped it, for lack of a better phrase.
But we'll try to do our best to get. We'll try to do our best to get the music out here for you guys and talk music as best we can. But while the world's still on fire, the world's been on fire for a few months now, bro. So we just make it work.
Just pull out the graham. Just pull out the graham crackers, marshmallows, and chocolate, and it just all makes s'mores.
At this point, if we're in the ninth level of hell, let's just make sure they got a good blockbuster. That's all I'm worried about. You know, as we said at the beginning of the show, you know, the election is still very much going on, and it's going to be going on probably for a few more episodes of this show. but before we got off the air last time, something interesting happened. Dwayne Carter, a.k.a. Lil Wayne, arguably one of the greatest rappers of all time, a Southern legend, and somebody who I was once a big fan of until I saw him ACL live and just was like, oh, my God. But so a picture came out from Donald Trump's Twitter account of him with Lil Wayne saying basically like, hey, you know, me and Lil Wayne talked about the Platinum Plan, which is the Trump administration's plan for Black America. And I want to thank him for his activism and for coming to talk to me. It was framed as if Lil Wayne reached out to Donald Trump and wanted to talk about, you know, issues in Black America. And immediately Black Twitter just lost its stuff.
As we tend to do.
Mainly from what, at least my timeline, confused as to why Lil Wayne, not so much that Lil Wayne was standing with Donald Trump, as to where did this activist Lil Wayne come from? A few years ago, Lil Wayne said something very disparaging about Black Lives Matter along the lines of, you know, basically, who cares? Like, it's nothing to do with me. I'm not even talking about the interview that the video people were playing after, you know, the picture with Trump came out. Lil Wayne said these things about Black Lives Matter online. And T.I., Clifford Harris, came out online and chastised Lil Wayne for saying that, basically saying he was tone deaf to social issues and as a Black man, he should want to stand up for his people and speak better on their behalf. Lil Wayne's oldest daughter, he only has one daughter, he has all sons and a daughter, Regina, defended Lil Wayne, her father, by basically saying, like, my father doesn't know what's going on. All he does is sit at home all day and watch SportsCenter, which is something, if you pay attention in the past, Lil Wayne has said that all he does is really watch SportsCenter. That's why he randomly pops up on there, because he's at home watching it. So... and so just all of a sudden hear Donald Trump say like, hey, you know, Lil Wayne's this activist and want to reach out to him. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Lil Wayne. Like, granted, people can change. And Lil Wayne is not somebody who's always in the public eye anymore. So we don't know what he has going on at home when he's bored by himself or if he's, you know, with somebody who's telling him to get involved in politics. But it was just very strange to see that. And it immediately smelled fishy. And so as time has gone on between the last time we were on air and now, it seems that Lil Wayne was targeted by the Trump campaign to try to entice Black voters over to the Trump side, because of course Trump has a problem with Black people, as evident is going on by this election. And so there was a list of celebrities that the Trump campaign had planned on reaching out to.
It was like 34 pages.
Yeah. And it was highlighted who, you know, had declined. Shout out to The Rock and Betty White. And some entertainers who had accepted. And so it seems like, it looks like, once again, I can't verify the document that I saw, but if it's true, it seems like Lil Wayne was paid to stand next to Trump and say that, hey, I'm working with this man on the Platinum Plan. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not 100% convinced Lil Wayne can read, so I definitely know he didn't read that Platinum Plan. I mean, the man didn't finish high school, so I'm just not convinced.
I mean, that don't mean he can't read. He probably have a comprehension problem.
What is Louisiana ranked in education?
Somewhere at the bottom.
I read somewhere Nevada's like 50th in the nation for education. So no one takes a lot to count these votes.
Because they're spending all their money on casinos.
Facts. But with the Ice Cube situation and Trump, people were rightfully upset because it does appear that, you know, Ice Cube and Lil Wayne were used by the Trump campaign to, once again, entice voters. But with Ice Cube, at least there's a history of him speaking on political and social issues. Like, there's 30 years of evidence of Ice Cube at least having a feeling about something involving the Black community. Lil Wayne's, the closest I've ever heard Lil Wayne say anything about social issues was the Georgia Bush freestyle on the Dedication 2 mixtape. That's outside of that, I've never heard him say anything.
Yeah, same. Outside of that, and I think he only did that because Hurricane Katrina and the whole fallout of George Bush flying over New Orleans in the helicopter and all of that. I think that was only, he only said something because it affected New Orleans, where he's born and raised and from. So I think, like, had it passed over and just hit, like, the Gulf of Texas or Alabama and Mississippi, I personally don't think he would have said anything. I think he was affected because he had a home there. He probably, more than likely, he still had family there that was affected by it. I think that's why he spoke. But outside of that, I can't recall Wayne saying anything. So when I saw it and he was being dubbed an activist, and I was trying to figure out what other activism has this man done. Like, and I think activism is a word in 2020 that is used very, rather loosely. just everybody's activists because they give their opinion on social media. It's not necessarily what an activist is.
Yeah, you know, okay, and even, you know, going like Lil Pump, for example, who I don't want to talk about, but I mean, it happened in hip hop, whatever. He popped up in a Trump rally. Evidence came out that he was paid by the Trump campaign to try to entice, you know, younger voters over to his side. Lil Pimp. You know, he came out to that MAGA rally sounding like a fool, talking about, yeah, Trump 2020. Like, what?
And wasn't he speaking on behalf, like Lil Pump, as far as Lil Pump goes, he was speaking on behalf of the black community, and it was like, he not black.
So, you know, it's not to get into the political opinion side of it. It's just very unfortunate that, you know, these entertainers are willingly being used by, you know, politicians that way. Granted, politicians have been touting out celebrities for decades, ever since, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. and all of them came out for JFK. So, it's just at least kind of like, okay, Obama, President Obama would have somebody like a Meek Mill, yeah, or Oprah Winfrey come to the White House to talk about social issues. At least it would appear more genuine because at least these celebrities have talked about social issues. So kind of, there's an argument that, well, maybe Obama's like, I want to talk to these people because I've heard them talk about it before. Once again, I've never heard Lil Wayne talk about anything politically. So to bring him out there, that automatically was just a huge red flag. And also shows how out of tune the Trump campaign is with the black community, to think that you can pull out Lil Wayne out of nowhere. Us be like, oh, I guess we must vote for you because you just pulled one of our favorite rappers from 10 years ago out of obscurity. So now that
I think a small percentage of us saw that and were with it, though. Like, saw Wayne standing next to him, like, oh, well, you know, man, maybe he's not that bad. Wayne like him. Just like I think when Kanye went to the Trump Towers and took the picture with him, I think a small percentage of us looked at it and was just like, oh, well, you know, he can't be that bad. You know, Kanye, Steve Harvey, and all these people, they went up there and they met with him, they shook his hand and all of that. And granted, some of those people I named, they did come out and say, well, I realized it was a bad decision and I was just used for a photo op for him to say, hey, look, you know, they like me. Black people like me. Look who came to see me. We sat and we talked and there happened to be no conversation that was had. But like you said, I saw Wayne and just thought, one, I'm not surprised. This doesn't shock me. The man has let his thoughts be known publicly on national television. So that's how he feel. That's how he feel. I'm not against him if he votes Republican. I think most rappers vote Republican.
Oh yeah.
So I think most rappers do. So I like it doesn't bother me. It's just like my thing is you not like with Cube, you not noticing or knowing or at least admitting that, yeah, guy, you were used and you just trying to double down. Like I wasn't. No, that's not what it was. No. At the end of the day, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to go into depth about anybody's political leanings. Once again, I don't even think Lil Wayne's ever voted in. Well, first of all, Lil Wayne can't vote. He's a felon. but I just, you know, that was left field. Like, come on. And it was disheartening because Lil Wayne is, Ice Cube too, they mean so much to us in our culture. And so to see them being used like just so blatantly was just, that's what's upsetting. Like I said, it's not even about political affiliation. Like you can, if I found out later on that Jay-Z voted for John McCain in 2008, I'd be hurt. But I'm like, at least Jay-Z is, you know, is very, very active in social issues. You
I'm
know,
definitely
with,
gonna be hurt.
With actions and finances. So, you know, I get that aspect of it. But, you know, if they went and dragged, I don't know, inspect the deck out there, the Trump, I'm like, okay, bro, really? Like, this is what we're doing? Like, this doesn't even make any sense, but
yeah,
it is what.
He said inspect the deck, bro. I really would have knew something was up then.
I'm like, okay, y'all clearly are not in tune with what's going on, because, nah.
Y'all didn't even get one of the most, you didn't even try to get one of the most popular Wu-Tang members.
Yeah, I know, you guys, you know.
Stick around for more after this quick break.
Anytime there's like a huge like issue that engulfs the country, me and Fresh have a hard time trying to, you know, talk about like music stuff because it's everything is so honed in on that one
thing. That one thing, yeah. Yeah. Especially music news kind of like is at a halt.
Exactly. So it's really hard to, you know, get it from there. But so I guess, you know, I just have a segment I just made up called Random Music Facts or Random Hip Hop Facts. Well, I say something and then we'll talk about it, and I say something else and we'll talk about it. So I was with a friend of mine the other day, and he was started rapping the words to How It's Going Down by DMX. I told him, I said, DMX hates that song. He's like, what? Why? It's a great song. I said, well, if you listen to DMX's debut album, It's Dark and Hell Is Hot, it's all like rough, rugged hood records. That's all it is. And then you have this one somewhat lovey-dovey song, How It's Going Down by DMX. So when D and Y were, you know, telling DMX to make the album, and it had been finished, and DMX turned it in, they were like, you need like a song for the ladies. Like, we get that, you know, you're making a song for the streets and for dudes, the dogs and all that, but at least one song for women. And that's how I Was Going Down came out, and they forced DMX to do it. He didn't want to do it, but he did it.
Yeah.
And the video came out, and it was Faith Evans in it, who in 98 was a huge artist. So, yeah, there you go.
They brought that up on the BET Chronicles docuseries when they did Rough Riders, and they talked about how, like you said, he didn't want to do the song, but when the album was done, like, they were like, we kind of need that, though. We needed something for the ladies, and we also need something for radio, and this will be the great radio hit. But like you said, X was against it and didn't want to do it, but he also sat down to do it. But that's much like Biggie didn't want to do Juicy.
Yeah, he didn't want to do Juicy. He thought
but Puffy but Puffy convinced him to do it. Like, we need this for radio. And at the time, in the 90s, you needed a radio record. You needed something to...
Look at you. Look at you with your random fact. I don't have any.
Off the top of my head, I don't do well off the top of my head. I'm absent-minded. I forget a lot of stuff, man.
I don't. Let's take it back to our favorite group, Outkast. So, Outkast's original name was Three Shades Deep. Hey. When they were in high school. And when they were actually supposed to be one of the last people to come out of the Dungeon family, because they were two of the youngest.
Outkast was
still in high school.
Yeah, they started in like 10th grade, right?
Yeah, they got cool in 10th grade, and they were still in high school when they got with the Dungeon family, Rico Wade and Rico Wade's Basement or whatever. And you know, of course, Andre famously dropped out of high school and got a GD when they were making AT Aliens. But Big Boy was a scholar. You know, that
Chris Wade with a 4.68.
That was actual GPA, apparently, when he said that ATL. So when they eventually got signed to LaFace after trying out three times, that was a fluke, actually. At that time, Rico Wade had a relationship with L.A. Reid and was sending everybody from Dungeon Family over there. And Outkast is when they got signed first, of course. This is not even my random fact. Of course, the story goes, Outkast, you know, did Players Ball for the LaFace Christmas album. Song blew up, Outkast comes out. So for the Players Ball video, Outkast, if you listen to early Outkast, Outkast first appeared LaFace-wise on the What About Your Friends remix. Their aesthetic was very New Yorkish, because most artists back then, rightfully so, especially if you're young, were trying to impersonate New York rappers. So, and even a little bit on Players Ball, they still have a little bit of New York aesthetic when they rap.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. Diddy, Puff Daddy, directed the Players Ball video.
For those that pay attention to credits, you'll see it when you watch the video.
Andre and them were trying to wear like a bunch of like Timberlands and New York stuff, and Diddy's like, y'all are from Atlanta. You need to put on Atlanta stuff. And so he forced Dre to wear the Atlanta Braves jersey, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
To represent for your city.
That
was the most Atlanta video that anybody ever seen at that point.
I remember Rico saying that he remembers Diddy pulling Andre out to the side, like, why are you dressing like that? Like, he was like, he had on this baggy sweater and these jeans and these Timbs, and he was like, y'all from Atlanta, man. Be Atlanta. This will be the first time people really see and hear what Atlanta looks like and sound like. Be that. Represent that. Of course, you had Arrested Development with Tennessee, but at the time, nobody knew they were from Atlanta. We thought they were from where? Tennessee.
Yeah.
So, Players Ball was the first time on a national stage, and Jermaine Dupri probably hates that point, probably hates that fact too, that we were really seeing and hearing Atlanta. And sorry, JD, Chris Cross didn't look Atlanta.
They didn't.
We didn't know what Atlanta looked and sound like, but it wasn't Chris Cross. And when we saw Players Ball with Outkast, that image, I think, was ingrained in a lot of our minds that that's Atlanta.
It's funny, you also bring up Arrested Development. So, I forgot the name of the lead singer of Arrested Development.
What's his name? It's something with a T.
I forgot his name.
It's something with a T, I know. I can't remember either.
I got to look it up. Arrested Development, the show. Have you ever watched that show?
Episodes. I've never sat down and watched a full season.
Well, you know, like you said, their biggest song was Tennessee. And like I said, what sucks is because they were from Atlanta. and everybody thought they were from Tennessee. Speech. His name was Speech.
Oh, well, I was way off. I said T.
Yeah, right. We both were. But he did an interview not too long ago, and he said that they got sued by Prince for that song because they said like maybe three words from a Prince song. And of course, Prince, being the musical connoisseur, business connoisseur that he was, caught it and sued them for $100,000. That's all he said he wanted. Just give me $100,000 and I'll let y'all slide. And a Speech said at the time, he was extremely pissed off. He's like, yo, why would Prince do that? I look up to you. But he said Prince was trying to teach him a lesson, like, bro, I could take your song off the radio. Like, as big as it is, I could take it off the radio. But I'm just teaching you, like, make sure you stay on top of your music business. Because I can see how easy it is for me to swoop in and take control of this. He said, they kept their publishing. He let them keep their publishing and everything. Basically, his lesson to him was like, be more careful about what you, because if I caught it,
And you say that Prince being on top of his music business, which is kind of ironic considering how things ended up with his catalog.
Yeah, I know. That's the biggest tragedy of Prince's career.
That one I did not know. I did not know that he is.
It was like three words that they said. It was three words they said in that song, he said Prince caught it when this song was number one in the country. Like, it wasn't like when the song was coming out. Prince caught it. Prince was like, oh, I guess Prince in the car. I was like, this, what they say? Oh, you get them on the phone. But Prince like, yeah, give me $100,000. Prince said, yeah, give me $100,000. Let you slide.
Prince caught it when it was on doing rotation.
Because he could have pulled it. Because, you know, with Diddy's I'll Be Missing You, which was one of the biggest songs, you know, from Puff Daddy's catalog, Sting swooped in there and was like, hey, bro, like.
Sting on like 85. He on like 85% of that song.
Yeah, the song. Exactly. Like, bro, you can keep, because Sting was like, you can keep it on there, but I'm owning this song. Like.
Which I think we brought up when we reported and talked about the same thing happening with Juice WRLD with, what was it, Lucid Dreams?
Yeah.
And everybody was upset and was like, oh, my God, why he just wouldn't let it go up? Well, this man owns the song and Prince owns his publishing. Nah, you interpolated, which isn't necessarily sampling, which he just kind of took the melody and some words from the original song and used it. But you have to clear that. And Sting, if you didn't learn anything from Diddy, doesn't play that. Like, yeah. Yo, I need, like, if you're not clearing it, I'm going to take everything from it.
Exactly.
Which is what Sting did on both accounts. I think he owns 85%. I know he owns more than 80% on both songs, which, not mad at Sting.
That's music business 101. You can't just make a song for somebody else and expect them not to figure out what's going on.
A lot of y'all out there flying under radar on streaming services with samples that y'all ain't clear because the song not big enough. But if it get big enough, trust me, whoever you sample, they coming for you.
Exactly.
And don't let it be Marvin Gaye.
Exactly. So let's shoot over to our favorite artist, Jay-Z. So, and to celebrate the anniversary of the Dynasty, which Jay-Z's, what was Jay-Z's album? Was that fourth?
Volume three?
Fifth. It was fifth.
Fifth. Yeah, I was going to say fifth.
Fifth. It was fifth album. Came out of Halloween. Halloween 2000. It was 2000? 2002. No, it wasn't. What year was that?
99.
You sure?
No, 2000. 2000, because Volume 3 was 99.
Volume 3 is 99. Yeah, and 2001 was Blueprint.
Yeah.
So that was supposed to be a compilation album, as you know. We talked, you know, you had mentioned that on Twitter. So for that album, around that time, of course, Rockefeller was trying to expand his dynasty past Beanie Siegel and Memphis Bleek. And I guess Emile at that time, if you want to count her. I think on that way, she was on her way out.
She's definitely on her way out. I think that was the last time she appeared. No, Hey Poppy was the last thing she appeared on.
Yeah. And so they were, you had State Property was starting to form at that time. And you also had, who else was getting signed?
I know State Property, like you said, State Property was forming. It was some other people there you just hadn't heard of. Kanye was also being brought into the fold at that time.
He produced
on Dynasty.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to hint at. So, Beanie Siegel.
I was about to say, because there was some other people there signing, and you just didn't hear from, like Rail.
Like I said, at that time, Beanie Siegel was, you know, working on his album, debut album, The Truth, and he had got a beat disc from Hip Hop, who is Rockefeller co-founders. Kareem Biggs Burke's brother. Apparently, there's a whole lot of them.
And also, Maul from the Joe Budden podcast.
It's one of his brothers. There's apparently a whole lot of them. I think it's just on his daddy's side. And he got the hip hop, gave the beat disc to Beanie Siegel. And one of the beat discs was Kanye West. And Kanye West produced some tracks for Beanie Siegel. And of course, Jay-Z, being Rockefeller head honcho, was like, oh, I like these beats. I want to add some for my album, this Rockefeller compilation that we're currently working on. And that is how Kanye ended up at Rockefeller. But at the time, right, when he got over there, as the story goes, Kanye was immediately in their Dame's and Jay-Z's face. Like, bro, I make beats. I rap.
I rap too.
I can do my own video. And they were like, bro, just give us beats.
We just
like,
want the beats, bro. We just want the joints. Give us the music. Just give us the music.
Just give us the beats. And, I mean, Kanye stuck to it while simultaneously working on the College Dropout the entire time. Kanye said he worked on the College Dropout for at least 6 years before it finally came out. He had been hoarding beats for himself, writing rhymes to him. And he finally was someone that. That's why when Dame and them approached Kanye and said, "Hey, well, you know, we've put everybody else now. You can finally work on your own stuff." Kanye's like, "I've been done."
It was already done, and he already had the single picked out, which was Through the Wire, and he shot the video himself. And
I mean, I've been working on this the entire time. I told you I rapped. Y'all just didn't believe me. I didn't take me seriously.
No, I just think they just didn't care.
Well, he didn't fit the Rockefeller aesthetic. Cause remember, the original plan was just surrounding a bunch of Rockefeller artists on his album.
Yeah,
but Kanye had already finished it. He's like, "I'm already done." So there you go. But yeah, that's all the facts I have for now. I could do this for a while, but you know.
Do I have another one in me? No, I think that's all the ones I got. Oh well, along with the Dynasty, that was the first time that we ever heard Freeway on 1-900 Hustler. Was his debut to the masses.
Yeah, you're right. It was. It definitely was.
It was a hard verse too, man.
It was a hard verse,
and that was the first time we heard Young Chris. He didn't rap, but he is one of the people who calls in the 1-900 Hustler hotline on the song.
I always find that interesting too when artists pop up on skits, but that we didn't know. Like I said, like you don't want to tell me that was Killer Mike and those Aquemini skits on Outkast's album. I'm like, that was him the entire time. Never knew. So yeah, shout out to that. But yeah, maybe next week I'll come back with some more random facts. Like I said, I used to collect hip hop magazines for 15 years. I ended up losing them because I didn't. When I moved out of an apartment, I forgot to get them out of my storage, and the apartments threw them away. But yeah, I used to just XXL used to have this thing about the making of an album where they literally take like classic albums and break down each track and have the people that worked on it talk about it. So that's why I got a lot of random facts about albums and stuff from. Or like the fact that the first what is it? What song is that? On Equipment Eye.
The first song? The first actual song?
No. With George Clinton on it.
Oh, Synthesizer.
Synthesizer. First song Andre ever sang on. First song he ever sang on. He said he was nervous as hell when he did it.
Yeah,
that was back in the time when he thought he had to be in the studio with a bunch of people. He said everybody in Dungeon Fight looking at him like, "What the hell is he doing?"
I think, like we said, Equipment Eye was the album where Andre was becoming the Andre
that we know
that we
today.
Know now.
Yeah, that's the first time he sang. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our first segment of the, well, I should say second, because we did the whole random hip-hop facts thing.
Mm-hmm. Look, it's force of habit, I know.
Yeah, facts. With unpopular opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
All righty, man. Unpopular opinion. It's my time to shine. It's been a very, very trying week. A very trying week. Considering it was election week, all of this, as we said, we still don't know who the 46th president of the United States is. So my unpopular opinion is going to be a little politically based. As expected, I saw a lot of people want to be, as we said before, loud and boisterous about things that they were just completely wrong about. So my unpopular opinion is kind of playing devil's advocate. You apolitical people out there, what's up? What you have to say about the political process isn't invalid. It just isn't always needed, is my unpopular opinion. It's not invalid, because I know a lot of times people like to make you feel like, oh, well, if you don't care about the system, if you didn't vote, you should just shut up and you don't say, you shouldn't talk. I'm that person. I'm that guy. I feel if you didn't vote, if you don't participate in the process, there should be nothing for you to complain about. But I also understand that complaining is human nature. You're going to complain. You're going to find something to complain about because it's just what we do as humans. I will say on the flip side of that is if you're apolitical, you don't like the process, you don't participate in the process, you don't trust the process, just pipe down a little bit. You don't have to be so loud. You just don't, because y'all talking circles. Just gonna put it. Y'all talking circles. Y'all repeat the same argument over and over. But like, you don't need to do that if you don't need to do that about a process you don't care to participate in. It's not invalid. It just doesn't have to be so loud. Like, I just feel if you're apolitical and you don't care, why do you have so much to say? Because to me, that says you care. Because as I think, as me and Confucius have said on the show before, things that we don't care about, we don't tend to talk about. Like, I don't really care for someone. I'm not trying to be their friend. I'm not trying to talk about them at every waking moment. So, and if it's a process that I don't really care about, I'm not going to talk about it. Like, I don't really care to talk about putting a perm on someone's head. So why be so loud and boisterous about why you shouldn't be putting a perm on your head? I don't care. If you want to perm your hair, perm your hair. It doesn't matter. So if you don't feel like your vote matters or voting matters at all, if you feel like it's all rigged and you want to run with the conspiracy theories, do that. Just do it with that group over there. You don't have to be so loud with it. But your opinion, as absurd as it may be, it matters. You have a voice and you have the right to voice said opinion. Just, once again, try not to be so loud and boisterous and wrong sometimes about it. And that's my piece. And now is that time of the show where we gain a little bit more wisdom than we had, let's say, on Super Tuesday. Here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
So, you know, as we stated at the beginning of the show, we're still not, we don't have a clear winner of the election yet. Hopefully, by the time the show comes on Saturday, there'll be a clear winner. One thing I want to highlight about what's currently going on as far as the votes still being counted is a lot of the votes are coming from predominantly black neighborhoods. In Michigan, it was Detroit and Flint. In Georgia, it looked like they're coming out of Atlanta. And where else was it? Pennsylvania is Philly. I think Arizona is Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Nevada also, was Vegas and Reno, right?
Reno. And going back to Arizona, you can't discount the Latino vote out there. The Latino vote out there went heavily Democrat. Of course, we can't get on, you know, on the air and pick a side, but shout out to black people. Because boy, who would have thought?
Y'all beat us down.
You know, me and Fresh have talked a lot about social issues. You know, we, of course, obviously are strict believers that Black Lives Matter. And there's also, to be fair, there's a lot of factors that play into what's currently happening in the election. There's apparently a huge Muslim population in Michigan that voted Democrat as well. And Texas, although it didn't go blue like people wanted to, once again, that young Latino population, that's the key right there. They're gonna flip it. It's very interesting that people of color and marginalized people in this country are the ones now that the country's looking to see what the next 4 years is going to be. People that honestly could say, you know what, screw all of y'all. We're not voting. We're not participating. Y'all don't like us. It's those people now who everybody's like, please save us. that's if you're on one side of it. You're looking at those groups of people and saying, please save us. Or are you looking at those groups of people and saying, please don't save us. So that is very interesting. It's like, what's the old saying? It's no fun when the cat got the gun or the rabbit got the gun.
Boy, that's you hang around some old people.
I'm sorry, I was raised around old people. You're not that much younger than me. that is my Confucius Says. You know, hopefully we come back next week. We'll have a better update for you on what's going on. Although I do think this is going to be a long process still, even if we do get answers in the next few days. The irony of it.
boy. Shout out, power to the people!
The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/The Breaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown.